KPIX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. 2 years to the day since the school massacre in Uvalde, Texas. There was a ceremony to honor the 19 students and two teachers killed at Robb Elementary. Also today, the families filed suit against Meta, Activision, and gunmaker Daniel Defense, which made the weapon that was used that day. The AAA says up to 44 million people will drive 50 miles or more from home over the Memorial Day weekend. And that includes Colorado's Katerina Azzarello.
Now traffic has been fine. I'm more worried about the 800 cops everywhere ready to give me a ticket.
She's on her way to a Grateful Dead concert in Ohio. A young missionary couple from Missouri were shot and killed by gang members in Haiti as they were kidnapped while leaving a youth activity at a local church. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will transfer power to his deputy while he undergoes a procedure tonight at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. $48 million worth of new building projects in Wisconsin just got the green light. The State Building Commission approved the funding yesterday. The money will go from everything from an addition to the Milwaukee Regional Medical Campus in Wauwatosa to an equipment storage building for the Department of Natural Resources. Black voters may very well decide the winner of this year's election, but black vote organizers admit they're fighting an enthusiasm gap this year. This could be due to any number of reasons.
You have, you know, some black folks that are concerned about the ceasefire, you know, that's going on in Gaza. And there's, you have some black folks that are concerned about reproductive justice. You have others that are concerned about economics.
Ashley C.J. Daniels is with a nonprofit called Black Girls Vote. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's official. Dane County has a new executive. Jamie Kuhn was confirmed last night by County Board Supervisor. She's the interim executive after Joe Parisi retired. She's worked for lawmakers, the governor, and was the Medicaid director for the entire state. The County Board approved her nomination unanimously.
With that, the motion carries. Jamie Kuhn is appointed as interim county executive.
Voters will choose the next Dane County executive in November. There are ceremonies all over southern Wisconsin to honor Memorial Day on Monday. There is one at Forest Hill Cemetery Monday at 9. Monona is holding a ceremony and parade kicking off at 9:30 at the high school. The Cross Plains Parade starts at 11 a.m. Middleton service is at 11:30 at Lakeview Park. There's one in DeForest at Veterans Memorial Park at 11:45 and an observance in Fitchburg that's 12:30 at Gorman Wayside Park. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
The Brewers are in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, reporting from Boston, Massachusetts, where the Brewers and the Red Sox face off tonight. No one is more excited to play in Fenway Park this weekend than Sal Frelick, who grew up here, but says he feels right at home inside the Brewers clubhouse.
Love everybody in this clubhouse. I think we all mesh really well together, pitchers, position players, everybody, staff. So, yeah, when you get rolling like that, and that it is contagious. Everyone feels good going into the next day.
NBA, the Celtics beat the Pacers here in Boston 126-110 in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics now with a 2-0 lead. NFL in Green Bay, the Packers wrapping up week one of OTA practices. Matt LaFleur on what he's looking for the most.
Compete. Bring great energy each and every day, and I think the guys have responded well to that. You know, it's early, but I'm really excited about this group and their ability to come together, compete, to push each other.
That's Matt LaFleur from Boston with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise mostly clear, a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, then a couple of storms in the late afternoon, high in the mid-70s. Showers and storms possible again Sunday, high upper 60s. For Memorial Day, some afternoon and evening storms and a high near 70. Currently, it's 66.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, here we go. It is Friday, and believe, even though it's a special kind of Friday, not that we don't miss him, but Dr. Tim Slecker is on the road for an important part of education. His daughter is going to an internship in Wyoming, and they are on the road, you know, heading across the country for good reason. What an important thing to kick off a summer for her continued education. But as Tim would say, it's TGIFBP. Thank goodness it's Friday at Busted Pencils. And we got a special Friday coming up because we've had a doozy of a week. We've had some great guests. We've had some great topics, amazing callers. So listener out there, if you want to call 855-752-4842, come break down the week with us. And I say us because tonight we have producer Anya and soundboard chief of all things engineering, Jess. All week long, Anya and Jess have been here with us in these roles. And so if we're recapping the week, why not chop it up together? Anya, how's your Friday going?
It is a lot better that I am now that I am here on a TGIBEPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday, something like that. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. I think Tim changes it up every week and I try and follow it. But I was just going with TGIFBP. That's a Tim special. Another one from this week as we're recapping, you know, colloquial phrases from the Busted Pencil show. Man, I was dying because I don't know if you're a close listener, but Tim, a couple of shows ago, he said, you know, we're out here spending money like sailors.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I was like, come on, look, what? This is out of context for me. I think I know it. I was Googling stuff. And then we had a guest last night who also talked about spending money like drunken sailors. And
exactly.
I was like, what? I think that generationally is out of context for me. Maybe for you, Anya and Jess. I'm not sure, like, if you were following it. But, you know, why not? You have some fun colloquial things that Tim will certainly have dropped if he were here tonight. But we're keeping the TGIFBP alive and well. But it's Friday. And it's Friday in May. We're coming up on Memorial Weekend. Which, you know, listener out there, if you, you know, get out to, you know, enjoying your Memorial Weekend with folks and having a great weekend. Certainly the three of us will try our best to do that. But I'm thinking about this week and a lot has happened. I'm going to come back to it because on the 17th, I believe we had the 70th anniversary of Brown versus Board. So we'll get on that a little bit as we unpack the show. But this week we talked, we had great guests. If you didn't get to tune into Monday's show, listen to us again on Memorial Day if you get the chance, because we're going to rerun part of it. But the whole thing is we had a really great guest, Chris Saldana, Dr. Saldana from the UW-Madison. talking about school finances and how schools funded, you know, and he really kind of dropped it like, yo, we are not adequately funding schools, especially with lofty goals of providing all students with a good education. You know, we're scraping for crumbs and we shouldn't be. But in addition to that, in the unequal school funding, you know, we need to do better. And he kind of broke down how that works. And so if you're curious, like so many, I know listeners, and I often am like, hey, where's the money come from? Who's it supposed to go to? And how's this whole thing work? Dr. Saldana broke that down, you know, on Monday night. So we talked a little school finance and with that, the inequity and currently how it works, which tied nicely into, you know, other topics that came up this week. It's almost always part of a Busted Pencils theme, it seems like. Well, because, you know, we're here in Wisconsin and a lot of listeners from Wisconsin, like Sherry saying hello tonight. Hey, Sherry, thanks for joining us on TGIF BP. Regular listener, Sherry, saying hello. We say hello back to you. But, you know, for Wisconsin folks, our guest last night, Rod, he talked about, you know, when you're deep in it. And what I mean by it is the privatization of schools. Like in this ideal sense, we talk about schools being a bedrock and a mainstay and an important facet of democratic government, of a community. They're where we learn to be with one another, where we learn to contribute to our economy, where we learn how to treat ourselves and one another. And as we privatize that, you know, we leave that up to outside interests, how much money we want to put into that, what kinds of things we learn and teach. And, you know, I think most of us on Busted Pencils come to the point where we're like, that's a bad idea. We should have a strong say from our governance, and education is a state, right? We should have state to state some strong say, some legislative, you know, support, not harm, but support to what happens in our public schools. Well, school finance, we learned that, like, they're not actually putting money behind that support. Okay, problem number one. Problem number two, we heard from Rod, and we've heard it time and time again, there are all kinds of proposals, not only to harm the funding, but to harm the access and quality that are of education in our diverse communities, hitting hardest in rural and urban areas, right? And so this has become a problem. And I'm going to come back to that in the show, especially when we're, you know, on the 70th anniversary week, essentially, of Brown versus Board, which banned legal segregation. So here we are 70 years later, where we hopefully were able to say things like, guess what? We have desegregated schools and we can provide equal and really quality education to all children. We couldn't be further from the truth right now. We're not funding it that way. We still live in really segregated communities. Sadly, and we talk about this as something that we give a lot of attention to, racism is still really strong and alive, as is, you know, strong elements of classism. This unequal school funding that we talked about this week, and then vouchers came up, and these kinds of ballots and these kinds of measures to privatize education hurt people in our communities, especially in, and I hate even calling them this because it's such a pejorative to really amazing people who make up an important part of our community. We call it low income, right? As in, and you know, and it's sort of this deficit idea that we map onto as though, you know, families and children in this system have a lot of options. They don't, right? And we know that the economic stress on our communities is growing. And by golly, it ought to be the role of our government to not make that a lived trauma for so many people. So I'm talking about a lot of the themes from this week, but it's Friday, TGIF BP. Listener, give us a call, 855-752-4842. You can drop comments. You can, you know, catch us on the YouTube, catch us on the Twitter, which is actually X now. But you know what I'm curious about? Anya and Jess, what's some of the things that stand out to you from Busted Pencils this week? You're usually front and center, but we don't get to talk to you that much. So let's talk tonight.
I know, we're kind of the quiet two behind the board, trying to make sure that you guys can be heard throughout the state and throughout the world, as far away as Tim would say, Finland, far away in exotic Finland, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think some of the things that stuck out to me this week, just across our guests and across our topics in trending educator news, is that I kind of just as you've said in the preamble here, they all come back to a very almost, I hate to say simple, but they come back to a really simple core concept, which is if we don't put money towards it, it won't work. And that doesn't mean putting it out into the free market where this idea of a school has to fight on its own, like the same way that the concept of a can of chips would have to fight for its own place in the free market of things we buy. Education is a right to all of our kids, and it's not up for the debate of, oh, would we like to purchase it in this form or purchase it in that form? It's supposed to be, not to say one size fits all, but everybody gets a size that fits. And what's crazy is this country has the ability, the money, the time, theoretically, the passion to do it. And what we've heard from our guests and from our topics is that at so many turns, the choice to not care about these things financially is made. And there's no coming away from that when you don't have any capital to push something forward.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just looking at where our country is putting its dollars, it's showing where it's putting its values. It's disheartening. It's frustrating. It's infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we can do better.
Right.
We know exactly how we can do better. And what I love is that we're actually coming together and we're having conversations with people who know and saying these are things that we can be doing better in order to not just get kids to score higher on a test. That's not what matters. That isn't what education is for. I think one of the things that's really stuck out to me this week is listening to this conversation of trying to dig into what's the purpose of school? Why are we sending our kids to school? What's the point? When my kids are asking me, why am I here? I want an answer to tell them but that's better than, well, because your parents are paying money for you to be here, so you need to be here. Because that's not a satisfactory answer. No. And I think we're getting closer to an appropriate answer that it's about making humans who are a little bit better developed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about making citizens who are a little bit more involved, who care about something bigger than themselves. And we can get there.
Yep.
We know how to get there.
And especially on the local level to say Wisconsin, when we're looking at such a big surplus and we say, oh, where are we going to get the money? Well, we have it. We have to put it into play. We have to make the purchases or fund the people, pay the salaries that our school systems need. And we've made the choice. Our elected officials have made the choice to not be involved in that. And that is beyond, it's beyond disheartening. It's deeply depressing because the solution is here and the choice is being made to not pursue it. So there's our super uplifting thoughts, Johnny.
Well, I love it. And you know what? It reminds me of a phrase that a friend over at UMass talked about in a discussion where he was sort of talking about, you know, why aren't we making more headway in diversity and higher education and these things? And Dr. Damon Williams gives a phrase that rings true to, I think, what we're talking about here. He said, commitment without currency is counterfeit.
Ooh,
and this
good.
Is, ooh, that's, I love a good sharp, right? Razor sharp sentiment. Commitment without currency is counterfeit. We have the money. You know, Anya's bringing that in here. Jess is saying we have the purpose. We don't lack a direction and compass. We have the purpose. We have the money. And do we have the commitment? Because if we're not putting the money to that purpose, then the commitment just isn't there. So stop faking the commitment, you know, and get to it. We have the money. We have the know-how, we have the goal. Why aren't we doing it? Hey, we got educated educators talking education tonight. Special guests from behind the boards, Anya and Jess tonight, joining Johnny here. Listener, give us a call if you'd like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. When we come back.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lovell Show.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
You can't feel the heat until you hold your hand over the flame.
Oh, yeah. Hold your hand over the flame. Feel the heat. We can feel the heat tonight because we are cooking here on TGIF BP. That's thank goodness it's Friday with Busted Pencils. And we have quite the crew here today. We always have a crew, but tonight we also have Anya and Jess from behind the boards joining the conversation. And we had a comment on the break from Sherry. It seems like this has been going on forever. Sherry, yeah, right here we are on the 70th anniversary of Brown versus Board, which banned legal segregation, was an effort to start desegregating schools officially. We had civil rights movement. We have had decades of research and information that says schools are still separate. They're still unequal. We need to do better. And by golly, can we do better? And we got into this whole sentiment of hearing this is a theme throughout the week. Like, do we really care? And if we really do care, let's do something about it. We had a text from, I think, Cam from Nina sending in an awesome text. It said, too much of school doesn't have enough time to show how something is applicable to real life. I also wish school was the place for people to learn self-awareness and more civics classes. Last thing is that the schools don't have effective programs for online use. I just hate how much money is needed that no one wants to pay. Cam, amen from Nina. Just kicking it down. I agree with you more and more. We do need it to be relevant, timely, something that is you know, important to young people who are learning. And all of those things could not be more important to the whole development, which educators amplified on Wednesday. They always bring that in. Like, how are we thinking about the whole child and not just about test scores like just dropped and that knowledge drop just last segment? The thing is, though, one thing before we get going into even more, Cam from Nina, awesome. Sherry, yeah, it's been going for far too long. I am hopeful for this generation who is living their lives and going to school amidst the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes, right? All of our lifetimes here. I bet there are listeners who remember Brown v. Board and civil rights, and I actually think the social uprising of this current era is larger, but we'll see. And I hope for change, because young people that I keep meeting time and time again in classrooms all over this country, rural communities, urban communities, even those suburbs that have it, where they're really insulated from so much of the lived experience that our rural and urban communities have right now, all of these young people are saying, enough, let's go. We know the world we want. We're going to demand it. And I sure hope they continue to. Okay. And Sherry says she remembers that. Sherry, we appreciate you being a listener, because intergenerational conversation is how we don't repeat the events of history. Right. So, and speaking of that, where can we have good intergenerational conversations? I just got to drop it in there, because I know my friends at Monaco Brewing Company are like, hey, Busted Pencils. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Monaco Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Now, talking about intergenerational conversations and listener participation, we got Joanne from Madison on the phone. Let's get Joanne on.
Thanks so much. Busted Pencils had an amazing week. One of your topics was integrating mindfulness and wellness training into the classroom. And as an older individual, Something rings hollow about it. Something is a little strange about that type of a juxtaposition. And I'd really like to hear the positions of the younger people and on your panel about what they would feel about having a wellness as a topic, basically, in everyday classroom settings. And just to add a point here, businesses are doing this as well. There are a lot of businesses that have some type of wellness and also mood modification right in the everyday participation of workers, you know, as call agents or customer service agents and all that they would have some training in how to modify themselves. But again, in this intergenerational mode, I'd really like to hear from the younger people. Thanks.
Well, let's hear from it. Anya, Jess, take it away. I couldn't agree more. Thanks, Joanne.
Ooh, Joanne, you are opening my
a very specific
box for both of us. We've both, so Anya and I have actually taught together, and a lot of our professional development has actually been on how to bring mental wellness techniques into a classroom setting, how to actually teach explicitly these mood regulation, these behavior regulation techniques to young people, mm-hmm. not for the sake of managing a classroom, although it certainly helps in regulating a classroom, but because these are skills. These are things that not everyone is born knowing how to do.
Right. No one is born really. You know, the way we know how to self-regulate is to scream and cry. And I keep being told you can't do that in public at this age. So we have to develop something beyond that at a certain point.
Yeah, I keep having to talk to security guards and pull Anya out of situations. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
So these are skills. These are things that people actually need time and practice in order to learn. So I am a huge, huge proponent for teaching these social emotional skills, whether it's just a couple minutes mm-hmm. at the top of every class, just to say, okay, this is one regulation technique that you can use in this type of situation, or even just building something in, just having an opportunity for reflection, teaching people how to reflect, to say, this is something that went well. I want to keep doing this well. Mm-hmm. This is something that didn't go so well. I want to learn how to do it better. Mm-hmm. Having that ability to look at something and say, I understand how this went. And I think I know how maybe I could do it better. It's such a valuable skill for people to have.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll say this too, to not get too long-winded on it, but you know, we both came out of a very experimental institution, and I saw through that institution how even there were ways where we were being taught about emotional management, but then not employing things that once we heard there was emotional distress, actually changing the classroom environment. And that was the difference. The idea of, look, we're not sitting around saying, how do you feel? How do you feel? Just to pass the time. If 80% of your students come back to you and say, I don't feel good today, maybe this isn't the day for new curriculum, new information. It's maybe a good day for either a review or a rest. And we would find that those students go much further in the long term with it.
Oh, yeah. When you actually change what you're doing based on the actual experience
the
of the people, it's incredible how that works.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, all right, everyone's tired. Everyone's feeling down. Great. Here are some Holocaust studies.
Yep. Which is what we used to cover. So,
So just having the, you know, using what we're learning and it, use what you learn.
Yep.
I love that. And Joanne, the caller, and thank you, Anya and Jess, for being part of this conversation, because it's where the magic happens. When we have this kind of conversation about these things as educators, talking education, about teaching, about what this is all like for us and our experiences and how we're, you know, putting it to practice. And too often, right, we see it sometimes superimposed, like, hey, we're going to do these mindfulness things so that you can get back to taking tests, or you can read more. And I love what both you, Jess, and Anya said. Anya, especially when you said, you know, what a novel idea when we actually listened to how we were feeling. Again, back to my continued inspiration from generations that are going to change this world, right, is that the emotional awareness is there.
Time we're out of time. Tony, we're out of time.
We got to keep plugged up.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.